back in the New Testament, if you look back there around Timothy, and you're going to find it, and it's a good stuff. This morning, over the last 2 weeks, hopefully you've been with us. If you haven't, I preached on hell, and then I preached on heaven, and basically I preached on a biblical view of what each one looked like. Biblically, what hell will look like and what it's all about, and then biblically, what heaven looks like and what it's all about. I think I gave you 8 things last week of what heaven will look like. So today, I want to talk to you about how to know that you know that you know which one you're going to. Don't you want to know where you're going to go? I know when they got on the bus this morning to go to San Francisco, they had a map, they had a plan, they had a way to follow this journey. And as Christians today, sometimes I think, because I hear this many times in my walk, when I witness and talk to people about Jesus Christ, they tell me, Billy, I think I'm saved, but how do I know? I think I know where I'm going to go, but how can I be sure? I want to know where I'm going to go, but I'm not positive that I do know. And so this morning, I'm actually going to lay out a few things out of Titus, which I believe Titus 3:5 is the best scripture to use when you're winning someone to Christ. I think it's the best scripture that we can find in the New Testament that's easy for us to memorize, but also helps us to lead people to Christ systematically. In other words, step by step. I love the Roman road. I love many other ways, but Titus 3:5 is easy, and I've used it many times to win people to Jesus Christ. And so after I exegete, if you will, that means look at every word in Titus 3:5, we're going to take a test. Everybody ready to take a test? Say, oh me. All right, we're going to take a test today. I've been out of school now for a couple months, and I feel like taking a test. And so we're going to take a test. We're going to look at what it is to be a born-again, fully devoted believer for Jesus Christ. Bow with me this morning. Let's prepare our hearts through the word of Spirit. I taught you, if you were here Tuesday night, the only way to walk in God, walk after God as fast as you can is to read the word, pray to God, and spend time in fellowship with other believers. So let's go to prayer right now. We're with other believers. We have the word in our hand. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. And oh Lord, thank you for never letting us go. But Father, also thank you for first loving us, as we'll read today. Father, I thank you for first coming to me and saying, Billy, I want you. Will you choose me? And giving me that option and opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ. And I pray that today, this very day, there could be someone here today that needs to receive you. And Lord, I pray right now, John 6:44, I pray that the Holy Spirit is promoting them and asking them and seeking them and wooing them and inviting them to come to you. So Father, move today. Move amongst us. I pray for those that are on their way to San Francisco, the 20 so people that are on their way. And I pray, Lord, that as they go at a power plant and help a church that's just starting in San Francisco, that they'll take this word and reach and teach men and women, boys and girls for Christ. Father, be with us today. May we come here today one way, and may we leave changed for your glory. Father, please be with us today. In Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. Open your Bible to Titus 3:5. We're going to look at it. We're probably going to put it on the screen and read it together. This is out of the English Standard Version, but it's called The Essence of Salvation. And I'd like for us all to either read it out of your Bible or read it, but I want you to see what this says. It says, He saved us. He saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. That's a great passage for us this morning to see as we study the essence of salvation. He saved us. He saved us. Again, I'll reiterate some of the best words in the Bible pointing to salvation. He saved us. Number one, we were saved by merciful grace. Look at this morning with me. We were saved by merciful grace. We are saved because Christ, listen to me, first chose us. You didn't wake up one day and in your life, and you didn't wake up one day and go, man, I just want to be really good, and I want to be just like Christ today, all on your own. He chose you first. My Calvinistic brothers are correct in that aspect of where they believe God chose you. Yeah, I believe that too, but I believe He chose everybody. And we all have that chance. Amen. But I believe that He did choose us, and He saved us. You didn't save yourself. You couldn't do enough good works to be saved. You couldn't do 5,000 good things and record them. One bad thing would send you to hell that I preached about 2 weeks ago. He saved us. Write down John 4:10, and it says this, in this is love, not that we have loved God, no, but that He had loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Verse 19 says, John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that we are all blinded by the evil one, that is Satan. And when we enter into this world naturally, all of us are evil and are bad until we find God. And God comes to us and He asks us, will you choose me and receive me? He loved us first. We are saved by merciful grace. And aren't you glad we're saved by mercy and grace? I know the things I've done in my life, God wouldn't need me, but His mercy and grace saved me. God saved us, and you cannot save yourself. Let me say it again. The Bible says in John 6:44, for another reference, if you will, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. No one can come to Jesus Christ unless God Himself sends the Spirit to them first. Powerful scriptures this morning. The Bible says in John 6:44 also, and I will raise him up on the last day. We are not, everybody hear me and listen to this. This is a real touch point today. We are not made or forced to love Him. We are wooed and invited and drawn to love Him. I'm not a robot that God says, Billy, you're going to love me. And I say, yes, sir. And then I do everything He says. I'm wooed and invited, drawn, never forced by God. And He looked for you before you even knew you were a sinner. Did you know that? I love when little children come to Christ because they come up and I'll say, do you know what it is to sin? And they'll say something like, yeah, say something bad to mom and dad. Don't you wish that's our worst sin? And then I think, oh, the heart of a little child. See, God, listen to me, takes the initiation. He starts it. No one can be saved by good works. Get this, no one. Another reference for you is in Isaiah 64. The Bible says that even our best day, the best thing we've ever done ever, is like a filthy rag. And that was a rag with leprosy on it. That was a really filthy rag. Our best day is like a filthy rag, Isaiah 64. Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all have sinned. Hear me today. I know I'm reiterating, but today's just a gospel presentation to my people today. We are all naturally sinful. And unless we receive Jesus Christ, we will all go to that hell that I preached on 2 weeks ago. It's a literal place. But if we have received Jesus Christ, we will go to heaven, which we preached on last week. Ephesians 2:1-3 says, and you were dead. You were dead spiritually. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of the disobedience. Listen to this next word in Ephesians 2:1-3. Among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh. We are all sinners, people. We have all been there. Carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I hope I'm getting my point across. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and all have fallen short of God's glory. 1 Corinthians 1:30, and because of Him you are in Christ Jesus, whom became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The only way I'm going to get to the heaven that I've talked about and that I love to go to and dearly seek to be at one time is through Christ Jesus, and that's it. Amen. And His love and mercy. Number two, we are saved by the cleansing blood. Boy, we don't preach the blood enough today in church. We don't understand the blood enough anymore. And hear me when I say this. I believe that the blood is the essence of our salvation. The essence of our salvation. The precious blood that is applied, hear me, to your sin and you became redeemed. The precious blood of Jesus Christ on the cross was shed for you to be redeemed. That's how you're saved. That's how you know Christ. Remember Adam and Eve? They sinned. And what they did immediately, they were just like you and me. They tried to cover up themselves. They said things like, we're religious. We go to church. They said things like, oh yeah, we believe in God. But when they sinned, God knew that. And their sin was out front. And they knew that they now would go to hell. And so what did God have to do? He killed an animal and skinned that animal so that they could cover their sin. Even back in Genesis. And so now when Christ comes, we see that he shed his own son's blood so that he could cover our sin. We do sin, people. And we do have a Savior that redeems us. Leviticus 17:11, this is a neat verse, basically says, blood represents life. Jesus' blood represents your life. Apart from Jesus' blood, you have nothing. Only Jesus' blood can save our life. And why? Because he was the only one that was sinless. Recently, I spoke to a gentleman and I said, only by Jesus Christ can you come to heaven. Can you go to heaven? Can you come to Christ? You have to go through Jesus. He said, no, I've done everything good in my life. And I'm just an all-around pretty good guy. You know, I think he's going to let me in. And I said, no, only by Jesus can you get in. And we must remember that. He is the only way. Because he is the only one that was sinless. Number three, quickly, we are saved by the new birth. We are saved by the new birth. And then after this, we're going to take a test. We are saved by the new birth. Salvation, hear me, is a cleansing event. It's not running down the aisle one day in a church and saying, now I'm saved and now I can go do whatever I want to do. No, it's a cleansing event. And the word cleansing in the Bible is what they call it. It's a Greek word that means and always continues to clean. It's when you're saved and then you're sanctified. Sanctified means to be continually cleaned. You're clean of your sin as far as the east is from the west, and then he continues to clean you. That's the word sanctification as well. I hope you get that. Salvation is a cleansing event. It's an instantaneous event. 1 second you were lost, and then the next you were saved. And I put it like this. As a pastor, I do a lot of weddings. And somehow, supernaturally, when a man and a woman walk up to get married, I kind of emphasized that a little bit. When a man and a woman come up to get married, there's something supernaturally happens. And I'm not sure exactly at the point that this happens, but I believe it's when they do their vows, God turns two into one. He does that supernaturally right before our eyes. And it's a neat thing to see when you're doing marriages. And the two become one. And 1 second they were two, and then the next second they were one. And that's kind of how it is when you get saved. You were 1 second dying and going to go to hell should the Lord come or you die. And then the next second you're alive and well and going to live a million years from now in heaven with Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? And so it's a cleansing event. God does this. Now, let's take a little test. Ask yourself this. When were you born again? You know, I can't give you the date of the day I was saved. I don't know the day. But I know the place. I know the exact chair I was sitting in. I could go there today at that church and I could sit exactly where I was. I could tell you what the preacher was preaching on. And I could tell you how fast I ran up there to get saved. I know I was about 11. Because I look back on my baptism certificate. So I know I was 11 years old. But I don't know the day. So some will say, well, then you're not really saved if you don't know the day. No, I just don't have a very good memory. And I don't write anything down. All right? But I know the place. Do you know the place where you were born again? That's what matters. It's not, well, I think I was baptized. No, when were you born again? When were you born again? And let me give you a couple questions. Here's a test. Here's a test. The first test that I see is, I'm trying to quote something here. I should have wrote it down. 2 Corinthians 13:5, but it might be 1 Corinthians. I apologize. But basically it says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? That's what it says. First or second page? Second Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves. Test yourselves. Unless indeed you fall, it says, to meet the test. Have you tested yourself to see? What's the second thing we can do in this test? Have you repented? The Bible says over and over we should repent. And I have a little saying here. If you ought to, you can. In other words, you ought to repent. So if God says you ought to do it, he equips you so you can. Well, I ought to do that. Well, if you ought to do it for God, then you can do it. All right? So repent. Luke 13:3-5. Acts 3:19 say the same thing. Luke 13:3-5. says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And the word "likewise perish" means go down. That's where hell is. And then it says it again in Acts 13 and 3 and 5. It's the exact same thing. "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Acts 3:19 says, "Repent therefore and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, and that is Jesus." Have you repented? Number one, have you examined yourself? Number two, have you repented? Number three, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? In other words, have you trusted in Jesus Christ? Have you come up to the storm that we sang about earlier, Jed, that he sang about? Have you come up to the storm and relied and tested and trusted Jesus Christ? Or have you gone out on your own and even made it worse? One of my favorite verses that you all know about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's trust, my friends. I've put my whole life into trusting Christ. Everything. Have you? That's a test to see if you're saved. Have you received Jesus in your life? I'm just going over the gospel today. Have you received Jesus in your life? In other words, accepted Jesus. This is a test. John 1:12, you've heard me quote many times, but it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Have you believed in him? That's a test. A couple other quick things I want to share with you. Do you sense the Spirit in your life? This is a test. Many people that I speak to that are religious, I ask this question. They'll say, "Well, I go to church since I was born, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, man, I'm always at church, and man," I'll say, "What's your favorite verse?" It's always John 3:16. I don't know why. I guess we all know that one. And they'll say, "What's your next favorite verse?" "Well, I have a lot. I can't really go over them right now," which isn't really bad, but I'm starting to wonder. So then I'll say, "Do you sense the Spirit in your life?" "Like, what kind of Spirit?" You know, I mean, they get real specific now. No, just, do you sense the Spirit in your life? Do you sense the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you? Do you sense the Spirit in your life? Every once in a while you go, "Wow, where'd that come from?" Do you sense the Spirit in your life? And so then I, you know, give them scripture like Romans 8:9. "You, however, are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you." I love it. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Do you sense the Spirit? I don't know how else to put it. I don't know how else to ask you, but that's a great question for the religious folk, isn't it? A couple more quick ones. I hope you'll like these. When you sin, does it immediately bother you? Me and my dad go round and round on this. My dad thinks he's a born-again believer, solid, love my dad to death. But he comes from the theology that once you're saved, you never sin again. And I say, "Dad, good for you, but I sin." You know, even driving here this morning, I passed Nick. And he was doing the speed limit, and I passed him, so that's a sin, right? Maybe he was going too slow. Let's hope that. But you know, I believe that we are going to sin, even as Christians. And I believe that we can live above sin, but I believe we do sin. Now, that's a whole theological unpack that we'll do one day. I don't have time to do this morning, but here's my question to this. When you do sin, does it immediately bother you? When you sin, does it immediately bother you? In other words, are you convicted by the Holy Spirit? Or are you just mad that you got caught? If you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, that means you're saved. Does it bother you when you sin? Christians can sin, but it bothers them when they do. John 16:8, if you want some scripture to that, says, "And when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." When you sin, does it convict you? Or do you just get mad when you get caught? Another one. I really like this one. I think this is a test. And I think this is one for the Christian people. Can I do this? Christian people. This is the one that gets us. I sit around with a lot of pastors and we drink coffee and we talk a lot. And I always have this in the back of my mind just in case, because I have to check myself. Here's the question. Here's the test. Do you love other Christians? "Oh, preacher, but you don't know what they believe like my dad believes, so how can we love them?" No, we still love them. I love my dad. My dad has a right to be wrong. Just don't tell him that. Here's how I put it. Do you love other Christians? In other words, yeah, I'll love them as long as they agree exactly like me, look exactly like me, talk exactly like me. Yesterday, I was at a horse sale, and I thought, okay, God, who are you going to lay on me today? Bring them on. I'm ready. As soon as I got done praying that little prayer to myself, here comes this girl and this guy and these two little kids, and this girl had a big old shirt on. It said, I was baptized at First Baptist Oklahoma. I said, thank you, God. This isn't going to be easy. Do you know Jesus? Yeah, I was baptized at First Baptist Oklahoma. And I said, praise God, I'm done. Praise the Lord, he's so good. She looked like me, talked like me, had the shirt on, right? Easy. And then here comes the other guy. But God, I'm done, man. It, you know, Chairman Deacon said one a day. I mean, I'm done. I'm D-U-N, baby. Done. That's not how you spell it, kids. Gilbert. So here comes this guy walking in. No, no, not that guy, God. No. No. He don't look like me. He don't talk like me. And he may whoop me if I ask him. I'm not going to go there, God. And God says, if my hand's on you, you shall fear no man. I'm going, oh, great. Please, God, no. Surely he'll not sit anywhere near me. He won't. He sat right there. That's what I did. Oh. So then he put his chaw away, and then he got out a cigarette. Now I'm going, okay, God, now it's affecting my health. I have to leave. Because you tell me to stay healthy and not to breathe that second smoke in, so I must leave. There's no escape. He's right there, and there's people all around. Now I can't leave. So I'm going, oh, God, what are you doing to me? So finally I looked over, and I said, dude, do you have to, you know, blow that on my face? And I didn't say it like that. I said, hey, man, how are you? And I introduced myself, and he introduced himself. I took a big breath, and I said, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? He looked at me like, dude, this is a horse sale, man. What's up, you know? I said, I had to ask, man, or, you know, God might strike me down or something. And he goes, that's a really good question. Can you help me with that? And I'm going, oh, my gosh. Really? You're not going to beat me up or nothing, you know? He said, no, that's a really neat question. 2.5 hours later, we're sitting there, and we're both almost in tears. And he's going, no one's ever told me that. Because probably no one's ever looked like him that knew that. See what I'm saying? I just thank Jesus. I don't know why I say that stuff. But he's ready to be. He didn't receive Christ, but I bet you he will next time I see him. He's right there, man. He's like, really? No one told me that, man. How come no one told me? And I'm going, keep it down, you know. And he's starting to get all this, and I'm going, you're going to be buying a lot of stuff. Keep your arms down. Don't make any sudden movements. Like, I mean, he was fired up. He's going, no one told me. And I've known this guy. I've seen him 2.5 years, but he didn't look like me, talk like me. Do I really love other Christians?
Yes.
Well, good. Thank you. 1 John 4:20-21, God gave me. As soon as I sat down and life started thinking about that, it says this. And if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. You know what liar means in Greek? Liar. I passed the test on that one. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And his commandment, and this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Do you love others, or do you talk negative about everybody you know? Pastors, friends, deacons, teachers. I sit in a lot of meetings, and man, I hear a lot of stuff about a lot of people, and I'm going, wait a minute, we love them. Don't talk negative about them. Don't talk negative about them. Just going through a little quiz here. Next, do you hunger for God's word? Christians, Christians, religious folk, talking to you today. Do you hunger for God's word? Can you go days, weeks, or months without the word? I'll give you some scripture. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. Long for the pure spiritual milk. Do you long for God's word? If you don't ever need God's word or ever need to read it, you need to examine yourself. Oh, by the way, Let me make a little point. If you're not able to check by any of these, I'm just going to have to be as blunt and tell you, you're probably going to end up in hell. I hate saying that. I should be positive, my wife says, and say, if you've checked them all, you're going to heaven. But I need to remind you that if you're not able to check all these, you may not be going there. And go back to last 2 weeks' sermons and listen to that and see what it looks like. Another quick question, and I only have a couple more. Do you long to worship God? I'm talking about being intimate with God. I'm talking about worship like we had this morning. Do you long to worship God and say, God, you are God? Do you long for that worship? If you don't, it's a problem. So many scriptures. But let me go to the next question. Do you long or do you desire to talk to God in prayer? You desire to pray? Many Christians that I know struggle with prayer, and I do. I seem like I don't have time to pray. But I know I need to pray, and I know that this church needs to pray more. Psalms 116, verses 1 and 2 says, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice because I've prayed. And He has heard my pleas for mercy because I've prayed. Because He inclined His ear to me, therefore I will call on Him as long as I live. If you're really saved, you'll call on Him as long as you live. That's what the Bible says. Lastly, last part of the quiz, do you desire to be obedient to His word? Do you desire to do what the Bible says to do? Do you desire to be obedient to His word? Luke 6:46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you to do? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will, not maybe, not might, but you will keep my commandments. Wow, what a test, huh? I close with this scripture, two scriptures to close with. And just listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. As I prayed and wrote this sermon, I thought, God, how can I end this? Not a real powerful where I'm, you know, but a very teaching, methodical, and systematical approach to the gospel today. God, how will I end this? And He said, use these scriptures. Speak my word. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do you not know that if you are not saved, you will not go to heaven? That's what He's saying. Do you not know that? We live in a generation today that they don't know that. And then it goes on to say, do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, we've got another list going here, nor the idolaters, those who put anything above God. I had a whole list for that. I don't even want to get into it. Nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Underline that in your Bible. And such were some of you. All of us were from the dark until we received Jesus Christ. But if such were some of you, in other words, there's hope. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name above all names, that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Some of us were on our way to hell, but because of God, now we're not. Amen? I love that. I wrote in small print in my journal, I know somebody that can change the drunkard. I know somebody who can change the homosexual. I know somebody who can restore relationships. I know somebody who can change your life, such as some were like you. That's God. And finally, Acts 22:16. Here's the question before we play music and we're going to rise to our feet and someone's going to turn on the air conditioner. Acts 22:16, and now why do you wait? And now why do you wait? And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, says Paul, and wash away your sins, calling on His name, the name above all names. Why do you wait? Bow your heads with me as we stand and have a little music going. We have a time of invitation here at this church, if you're visiting with us. And I believe that you should never, ever, ever share the gospel without inviting someone to Christ. And so today I invite you to come to Jesus Christ. If there's anything on that list that you couldn't check. Most of us in this room have walked an aisle and done that. So don't be ashamed or embarrassed, but have courage and be bold. Let's pray. Father, give us that courage and that boldness today. Father, thank you for the gospel, your word. Thank you for laying it out so easy for us today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a checklist and showing us how. But Father, I pray now that somebody in here today, many in here today, would come to know you in a personal way. And know that they know that they know that if they die today, they go to heaven. Father, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. If God is speaking to you, will you come today? And I ask you, fully devoted believers, to pray for those that are around you this morning. Pray that the Spirit would open their eyes and take the blindness away from them. Will you pray for each other? As the music plays, will you come? Will you come? That'll get you woke up.
my rescue and I wanna be where you are.
Amen. Love that song. Ushers, if you'll come forward, we're now preparing a time of worship where we give back to God a portion that He's given to us. We've asked as members to give a tithe, and if you're visiting, we don't expect you to give, but we're glad that you're here. If you'll give us maybe your card there so we can see who you are and get with you, we'll thank you for that. But let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we pray that you'll take this and bless this, multiply it so we can continue doing our ministry as we reach and teach men and women, boys and girls around the world, Lord, through missions, through our giving, and right here in America, and right here in Queen Creek and Santan Valley. Lord, we pray that you be lifted up. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jed. Powerful worship. Glad you're here today. Be here next week. We've talked biblical description of heaven, biblical description of hell, biblical description of a Christian. Next week, biblical description of a dying church, denomination, and person. Very powerful next week. You want to be here next week. I can't do three, but my fingers are broke too many times. Three, all right? Three things we're going to talk about next week. It's going to be powerful. What's a dying denomination, church, and people look like? It's right in the Bible. It's going to be exciting. So bring your friends. Bring people around. We're going to have a powerful worship next week. Also be in prayer all week as the team from San Francisco is gone. We need to lift them up in prayer continuously. There's riots going on in Oakland and all kinds of stuff, and they're going right through the middle of it. So just be in prayer for them. We do love you here. If you're visiting, we thank you for being here. And we think that this is a place where you can belong and serve. So let's all stand together. We're going to be dismissed. Father, we love you. Father, I pray a blessing on our families today. Father, I pray for protection on the two buses as they head to San Francisco with the kids and the adults in there. Pray that they'll do amazing things for God. I pray for Heart Cry Church, Lord, that even this week, we would reach out to somebody and ask them to come to church with us. And Lord, we pray that if they do, that they will learn and be blessed. Father, I pray most of all, and I thank you most of all, for saving us. He saved us. And Father, we thank you for that. I pray that none would go without hearing your word. And I pray that Heart Cry would represent a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through Christ's true church. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name I pray as we go. Amen. Cool. You can't talk to me when I'm preaching up there.